Just Rosh Hashanah, Kaveh Hakol. The days that lead up to Rosh Hashanah, very often by us, are days that sort of occupied with a great deal of strain and stress. It's not uncommon that a person, when the Yom Narom are over, is very relieved. Baruch Hashem, it's over. I don't have to think about it again until next year. But the truth of the matter is that somehow it's we can understand why, but somehow there's a distortion here, because it's not the way we find. It's not the approach that we find in Tanakh. Right? The pasuk, the direct place that speaks about Rosh Hashanah in Tanakh is a pasuk, is Psukim in the Sefer Nehemiah, where it's quoted. The post can bring this halacha that it says that at the time Nehemiah, Ezra was one of the leaders of the people who went back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash at the end of the Golus Bavel, and the people at that time had fallen in their madrega, the effects of the Golus, even though it was only 70 years, but the people had fallen considerably. And when it came Rosh Hashanah, so the pasuk tells us that the people were very, very worried, that they heard, they knew what the Torah said, they knew what they were supposed to be doing, but they weren't living up to it. So the pasuk says that Vayomer Nehemiah, I'll skip a little bit from the pasuk, Vayomer Nehemiah v'Ezra ha-Kohen ha-Sofer v'Alviim v'Chol ha'Am, that Nehemiah and Ezra said to the people, it said, Hayom Kodesh Hu Hashem Elokeichem. Today is a holy day for Hashem. Al tisabolu v'al tifku. A person should not mourn. This was saying this on Rosh Hashanah. Al tisabolu, you should not mourn. V'al tifku, and you should not cry. Why were they saying this? The pasuk says, Ki bochim kol ha'am kishomim es divrei ha'Torah. Because when the people were hearing the words of the Torah, and they were seeing how much they had come up short, so they were crying. So Ezra said to them, "Vayomer lahem, luchu ichu mashmanim ushsum amtakim, go home and eat good food and drink wonderful things. Veshulchu manos leinachlo, and send gifts to people who you don't know so well. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu, because today is a holy day for our master, for Hashem. Va'al teyatzfu, and don't be sad. Ki chedves Hashem himu uschem." Because the enjoyment of Hashem, the delight of Hashem, that is your strength. In other words, Ezra was telling them that the attitude they should have, and these are people who unquestionably had fallen in their Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and the Pasuk says, the Baruch Kol Am Kishom Mestivir Torah, they were crying, it was sincere cry, they had reason to cry. But nevertheless, Ezra said to them, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is v'al teyatzfu ki chedves Hashem himu uschem. And then the pasuk says further, v'yelchu kol ha'am lecho v'lishtos l'shach manas. The people in fact carried forth what Ezra said, v'asa simcha gedola kevinu b'dvarim, because they understood. And then it says that v'yom hasheni, on the second day, where Rashi says on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, nezfu rosh ha'ovitz l'kol ha'am ha'kohanim v'alvim al Ezra ha'sofer l'haskil al divrei ha'Torah. Then they came to try to understand lahaskel al divrei Torah, to try to understand with a deep understanding what the Torah was demands of a person. So the Alter Slobodka pointed out that he said an amazing thing. Ezra Sofer is the person that the Gemara tells us that had the Torah not been given by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra was such a tzaddik that the Torah could have been given al yedei Ezra. And not just that, but we say every day in the Slichus, Ezra Sofer Omer, right? Ezra said that he said, "Olakai boshti v'nechlamti loharim panai lecha," right? That he said he cried out that I'm embarrassed to confront Hashem, right? And so we say this in the Slichus, "Gevonaseinu Ravu l'malo rosh v'ashmaseinu adl shamayim." So if Ezra was saying this, so you would think that this person who has a tremendous understanding, this person, this great gadol, the person of the same basic, approaching the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, a person through whom the Torah could have been given to Klal Yisrael, And a person who sincerely felt that the busha, that I can't, that we have so many averis, but yet when it came Rosh Hashanah, he said that's not the way to go. That's not, you would think that such a person, when it come Rosh Hashanah, who'd been spent the whole day mourning and crying and asking for mechila, the slicha, but apparently that's not the approach that he took. But rather, what he said to them was, Gichet v'as Hashem himu'uzchem, that a person is supposed to have a certain degree, the attitude that a person should have coming to Rosh Hashanah is that a person should understand that, yes, on the one hand, it's obviously the Yom HaDin, that Hashem is judging everyone, but there's a relationship, there's a tremendous Ava that exists between Hashem and the Klal Yisrael. And that Ava stands by, there's a tremendous amount, that love makes it that a person has what to feel good about. Kedvas Hashem himu'uzchem. But what then should be? What then should be is that the Pasuk says that the person should come wahaskil al divrei haTorah. That rather than to cry and to mourn, a person should try to use this opportunity as an opportunity to grow. Wahaskil al divrei haTorah. A whole year, everyone is busy. A person is busy, the many different things that press at a person's time, at a person's Yishuv Hadas, the person doesn't have the opportunity to think and to understand clearly what's happening and what he should be doing. And we get caught up, and it's very hard. It's very hard to make an assessment. It's very hard to have any sort of presence of mind to make a good evaluation of where we really stand. But on Rosh Hashanah, apparently, this is what he was telling them, that this is the time that fakir, that it's the attitude of the person should be as much as, obviously, there's a certain cherdes hadin that has to be, otherwise a person, you know, if a person just eats and drinks on Rosh Hashanah, really, most likely, just reflects the fact that he doesn't believe at all that there's any sort of judgment taking place. But at the same time that a person does that, at the same time that there's a certain balance that a person has to maintain, that this is an opportunity for a person to shteig, that this is an opportunity, we have the Yemei HaRachamim, that this is a time that a person has that he could focus on now he has, okay, now with the pressure, with the fact that there's a serious time, so that rather than to depress somebody, that's what he said, Al Teyotzful, it's not the way to go, the person should be down, a person who gets down in a situation like that, so he's missing a tremendous opportunity. The whole Rosh Hashanah, the whole Yom Ha'aretz goes down the drain because he's dysfunctional. I'm all stressed out. I'm no good, and there's no hope. I can't do tshuva. It's too much to fix in too short a period of time. All the cheshbon, and even if I think I am, but I remember from last year I said the same thing, and the year before, and the year before that, and the garnish geholfen, and here I am back in the annual situation that I find myself in. So that type of thing doesn't get a person anywhere. What gets a person somewhere is that lahaskul divrei Torah, that he comes to Rosh Hashanah, he comes with the attitude that okay, so it's a serious thing. So let's see what could be done. Let's see what a person could do. The Rambam says in the Mara Nevuchim, the Rambam writes about the inyan of tshuva. So at the end of the Shara Shlishi, towards the end in the Mara Nevuchim. So the Rambam says that tshuva really says we find many mitzvahs in the Torah that pertain to tshuva. There's the etzah mitzvah of tshuva we have in the parsha this week, and the tzavim, which according to some is the mitzvah of tshuva, and the other places, the whole union of karbonis, that a person brings karbonis that to be mechaper for averis. So the Rambam says like this. He says that the reason for all of this, the reason why the Torah stresses this, he says, because the nature of a human being is such, and the world is set up in such a way that it's not possible. It's not possible for a person that he would not ever do anything wrong. It's not as he says. How so? He says, "Im shetauso be'achshiva ashkofa amida she'ena chashuvim be'amis." Either because he has a wrong outlook, that's one thing that could go wrong. Or because he could be overcome by a temptation, or he could be overcome by anger, or whatever it is, a person that doesn't have necessarily his midos in order, it's very difficult. So says the Rambam, if a person would have the feeling that there's no repair for this, that's it, I'm lost, I can't get out of it. So he says, what's going to happen? Yasmid b'tayosah, he'll keep repeating the same mistakes. He'll keep repeating it. And not just that, he says, v'shemagam Yosef b'merio. He may even get worse. Because of 40 years, listen, if there's no way I can get out of this, if there's no way, there's no hope for me, so then I might as well lower myself and do it. Okay, so at least a little hanoah, I'll get something, I'll get some enjoyment. This is what we see in the world around us. The world around us, especially today, incredible with a situation where people, in a world where there's so much education and so much enlightenment, so to speak, and all these kinds of things, and you see people act in the most depraved way and with no busha, it's embarrassing the way people walk in the street, the way people act, the way they conduct themselves, an amazing thing. So how could it be such a thing? I think it's safe to say that a big part of that is because of the fact that there's a yish, there's a certain yish. So what am I anyway? I'm nobody. Who am I? There's how many billion people in the world? I'm just another number. I'm just a social security number. Whatever I am, there's no. I'll never be anything. I'll never be famous. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough connections to do even the things that I want to do, and with a certain dignity. So maybe I'll just lower myself and be from the person, because a lot of what we see, the irony is that people desire this so much, that people are so, from a religious Jew or from a Yid is sometimes envious. You say, boy, you know, not that anyone would, you know, say this out loud, but sometimes, you know, if only I could, you know, a few days be act like that. You know, the emphasis is that this is something that's, I think, to a very large degree coming from despair. It's coming from distress. If a person had a true recognition of what they were and what they were capable of, had a healthy self-esteem, they wouldn't be doing these things. They wouldn't be doing, okay, maybe, obviously, not going to be tzaddikim, but to go and act in a depraved way, in an embarrassing way, that's because of the fact that there's no concept, I can't get out of it. I can't, there's no hope for me, I'm done, that's it. So, I continue to live and I'll be what I am and that's all. Says the Rambam that this is why the Torah is so mazir on tshuva in so many places, because that's the kiyum olam. That's the kiyum olam. There's no hope for the world if not for that. Tshuva gives a person hope for life. Because that because whatever was, whatever happened, so good, so I could turn the page. I could emerge, I could become something, I could become a great person, I could be at one time not such a good person and become Adam God will be Yisrael. Because of the fact that there's the opportunity to tshuva. This is what the Rambam says. So therefore, when we approach the Yom HaNarom, a person has to understand this. A person has to understand that this is the ticket. This is the ticket, you know, amazing. Everybody loves, you know, Purim. Everybody loves Purim. Everybody loves Pesach, the men at least, who love Pesach, and other things, Hanukkah. You know, if not for the Yom Narom, we wouldn't be interested in any of these things. We wouldn't be interested in any of these things. Because of the fact that Purim? What? Says who, we would feel no connection. There would be, who am I? What are we? We're nothing. We're lost. We're this, we're that. So yeah, once upon a time there were tzaddikim, and what does that have to do with me? Nothing. The hope for a person comes from the Yom Narom. It's the chizuk for the whole year. It's the chizuk for what could be accomplished. A person over the Meir Rachman is not shaykh. It could make a person, not just that he'll fix his avera. We become very micro, you know, focused that they'll have to fix this avera and fix that avera and quick, I bet it's going to be Rosh Hashanah soon. And okay, ein chanami, but you have to sometimes take a step back and see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that this is the best time. This is the chizuk for the whole year. This is the time a person rejuvenates himself. Right? It's not possible over the course of an entire year that a person should not fall. It's not possible, as the Rambam says. Rambam, he wasn't stopped talking to people. He's saying, it's not possible that a person, there's too many things, there are too many challenges, too many issues, right? Whether a person, he delineates all the different things that could happen. But the reality is that if a person uses the time right, if a person takes the opportunity, goes into Rosh Hashanah, okay, it's Ein Chanami, it's the Yom HaDin, but if I care, the thing that's going to be good for me is that I'll if I can keep my wits, if I don't panic, If I don't fall into a yish and into despair, I can actually accomplish something. I can actually accomplish something, and then it'll really be that'll be a tshuva. That'll be at least a set on the road, even if it's not a tshuva shlem at that moment, but it set the person on the road the right way, and it could be an inspiration. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the yisod of nasav nishma, he says in the Shara Sheni, in the Shari Tshuva, that the yisod of nasav nishma was because a kabbalah. If a person resolves himself to do something, so in the Hashkafas HaTorah, that already gets the person's schar for whatever he's going to do thereafter. That's the Ruz, when the Klal Yisrael said, Nasiv and Ishma, and Hashem said, Mi Gilu Labonai Ruzeh, who told my children this secret? So the question is, what's the secret? Nasiv and Ishma is not a secret. Nasiv and Ishma was a statement of faith. It was a declaration of faith. Okay, it's a gewaltige thing. Nasiv and Ishma, we accept to do it, even before we hear what it is. So it's obviously a tremendous trust in Hashem. But what's the Ruz? The Gemara says, Migil Amakash Baruch, Migil Abonai Ruzeh. Where's the Ruz? So the Ruz, the secret is, because there's a secret in the Torah. The secret in the Torah is that when a person sincerely undertakes a course of action, when a person sincerely undertakes to improve themselves, so at that moment, even though nothing has yet happened, nothing has yet happened, but it was a sincere Kabbalah, so then already they get schar for kol ha-mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yonah says this, that a person gets schar for kol ha-mitzvahs, and therefore when they said nasav v'nishma, they got schar for kol ha-torah kul, even though they didn't even know, let alone they didn't do the mitzvahs, they didn't even know what the mitzvahs were going to be. And at that moment that they said nasav v'nishma, they got schar for kol ha-torah kul, because of this attitude, that this ruz, this secret that the Torah lets us in on, that if a person sets himself up and a person makabel his sincerity and recognizes what it is, so that's the greatest thing that could happen. We find this in the Medrash, in the Medrash in Emor, amazing thing in the Medrash Rabbah in Emor. So the Torah, so the Medrash says on the pasuk Bechosh Hashvi Bechachosh, the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah. So the Medrash tells us that it says like this: B'shari Shona. So the day of that Hashem created the other Marishon. So B'shari Shona of Machshava. So the Medrash goes through the whole Seder Hayom of that day. That on the first day it was all Machshava to create Adam, and that in the second, that in the first hour, and then in the second hour in the Siyatza Malachi Ashares, and then in the third hour Hashem began to gather the dust, and in the fourth hour of that day he needed it to begin the formation of a human being, and so too in the fifth hour B'shishi Aso Golem, in the sixth hour Adam was formed into a form of a human being, in the seventh hour he was given the Shema, in the eighth hour he was brought into Gan Eden, okay, in the ninth hour he was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but Asiri Ovar. In the 10th hour, for 1 hour it lasted, right? In the 9th hour, Adam Rishon was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and in the 10th hour he did. Says the Medrash, Ba'achad Osir Nidon, in the 11th hour he was judged, B'shneim Osir Yotza B'dimus, and in the 12th hour of that day, so he emerged from this din Torah with a favorable judgment. So the Medrash continues. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu LaAdam. So at that point, Hashem said to Adam Rishon, "Zeh simin lebonecha, that this is going to be a simin for your children. Kishem shamadata lefanai bedin beyom hazeh v'yotzis bedimus, that just like you stood in front of me on this day in judgment and you emerged favorably." So too, this is the day. In other words, why is Rosh Hashanah the Hayom Haras Olam, right? The day of the creation, Zeh Yom Tchilas Masecha, which the Rishonim say means the day that Adam Rishon was created, right? So why is that? Because it's not just Stam, the anniversary, like, okay, the anniversary, the beginning of the world, but rather it's because there was an example that was set on the very first day. On that day was set the example that a person sinned, and a person sinned very quickly after having been told not to do something. And then he was brought up in judgment, and he got away with a favorable judgment. So Hashem said that for this reason, it's going to be for all the generations. Going to be for all the generations. This day is going to be the day. It's mesugal for good things. It's mesugal for favorable judgment. This is going to be the day. So the question presents itself that you say, you think about it, so what does it mean that he was Yotzes Bedimus? So he was Yotzes Bedimus because he was not killed. In other words, Adam Rishon theoretically is Mechad Misa, but he was not. He emerged without it. So you'll say, okay, but on the other hand, he did get a pretty bad situation because he was kicked out of Gan Eden. His whole Madrega fell. Yetzer Hara was injected into him in a way that was much stronger than ever before. A lot of terrible things resulted from Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas. So it's interesting. So you'll say, all right, so yes, Mitzad Echad, it's true that Adam Rishon was spared, and ultimately that was the favorable judgment. Okay, he should have been killed. Hashem decided to spare him, so that was the favorable judgment. But when you think about it, but it's not like everything after that was so geschmack. It's not like everything was so smooth. What happened was pretty nasty. What happened to him? He suffered terribly from that whole incident. So why then? So Ein Hachinami. It's true that this was overall a positive over what could have been, but that this day should be established as the Yom HaDin for everybody is a little bit, you know, you think about, I don't know, maybe we should consider, maybe we have to reevaluate, you know, let's look through the calendar and see if we can find any other days to establish as the Yom HaDin. It's a little bit of a bitter pill to say that, let's make Rosh Hashanah today, the day that Adam Rishon got kicked out of Gan Eden, the day that the old chate took a real form in the world because it was overtaken by Yetzer Hara, the day that he lost his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very big way. All these things happened on that day. So that's considered the day that should be Yotzei B'Dimus. So the pshat is that the Moses say, the pshat is because Ein Hachinami, it's true, but after everything said and done, the greatest gift that a person could be given is the opportunity to live. Because the opportunity to live is the opportunity to grow and the opportunity to fix, to be misakin. And that's what Adam Rishon was given. So it's true that a lot of negative things came about. But as compared to what The ultimate was that he got Chaim. So he got, so that's everything. So you say, but what kind of life? People say all the time, what kind of life do I have? It's so hard, it's so this, I have no life. There's no such thing, because a person has life. If a person has life, that's it. That's what we're saying over here. That's what the Chazal is saying. He was Yotze B'Dimus. Rosh Hashanah should be established as the day, because it's true other things happen, but it pales. It pales by comparison. Because after everything said and done, the opportunity that he was given, so you continue living, so you steig further, so good, so you messed up, so you'll be misakin. So you have a chance, and now we'll go further. So life goes on, you'll be able to fix things up, you'll be able to still do great things. So even with all the losses that took place, so this happened, this was a loss, that was a loss. But the bottom line is, at the end of everything, there's still the net is tremendous, because that's Chaim. That's Chaim. A person says on the Yom and the Ram, Zochrein al Chaim, he has to understand what he's saying. What is the person saying? Zochrein al Chaim. For what? For what? We live in a world which has, unfortunately, tremendous hashpa on us in terms of what Chaim is. And you know, the good life, you hear this expression, and all kinds of the this life, that life, these are not expressions. We're surrounded by this, and a lot of times the problem that we live in today is that, you know, a lot of things that aren't good are not identifiable. In other words, the things that are mamish osir, everybody's familiar with. Whether or not, we're always nizer in these things, but at least we know, it's clear, you know, this is wrong, that's it. But a lot of the hashkafa and a lot of the attitude, and you see this in the Frum Welt to a frightening degree, what's life, and then they have to enjoy it, and you have to have this, and you have to have that, and you have to have this luxury, and this tremendous thing, and that beautiful thing. Adam Rishon didn't have too many beautiful things at the end of the net result, at the end of the first day of his life. So he was walking away, you know, in a daze from what had just transpired. But in the Hashkafa of the Torah, he got everything. This was the greatest victory. This is the greatest accomplishment, because he had life. And this is, I think, an attitude that a person has to take when we approach Rosh Hashanah, that it calls for an evaluation. More, aside from the specifics of tshuva that a person has to try to fix, I do that, okay, maybe I should be more careful in this halacha and I have to improve in that halacha. There's no question that that's true. But there's also a bigger picture that very often gets lost, because today the challenges are not just in specific halachas, but the challenges to the whole approach to a person's life and what a person is supposed to be and what a person could be. You live in a world that's void of any hakara of godless ha'adam, a world that has no understanding of what a person is supposed to be. Right? The Chazal tell us that you know, Adam Rishon, when he was created, was on such a madrega that the malachim confused him with Hashem. The malachim, Bikshu Malach Hashar Islamu Lefon of Shira, the Medrash says, that they thought that when they saw Adam, they thought this is Rabban Shalom, because they never saw such a thing. They never saw such a thing with such chokhmah, with such ability, with the ability to do right and wrong and be bocher betov. This is the tremendous segula that a person has, that every person has. But unfortunately, we live in times where this is not appreciated. We live in times that it's debased, where everything is lowered, everything is brought down, everything is just to live animalistic type of life, and to the more and more and more without any sort of sensitivity, what a human being could be. This is the greatest challenge that we have. This is what a person has to, Rosh Hashanah, a person has to take the opportunity to focus a little bit. A person has to take the opportunity to try to focus and make something, each person to make something out of themselves. I remember, you know, I over the summer I had an interesting opportunity a few weeks ago. So I have a brother-in-law who happens to, he's very big in the field of Kiruv, and he lives in Palo Alto, California, which is in the midst of Silicon Valley there, with all the Grisa computer companies and all the technology. And he made a bar mitzvah. So I went out there for a few days. And part of the trips, everybody there, if you live there, either you work for one of the technology companies or you're a lawyer for one of those people. But that's the whole island, every single person. So when we were there, so he arranged that one of the people in the shul, so works for Google. So he said, all right, so he'll give a tour. A nice olim came in for the bar mitzvah, they had a baruch shem, a nice turnout. And I said, okay, so it'll be something to see. So he takes us to the plant there, and it's quite amazing, the amount of people. They have over 20,000 people work there. And they're going through all the various, showing all the improvements in technology, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, as a Rebbe, you know, like, this is, you know, what's the Rebbe's response to all these things, you know, he's telling us, this is going to save the world, and I say, no, it's going to be machr of the world, and, you know, every line that's being said, you know, in my mind is being countered. But all right, I behaved myself. I did actually ask him one thing privately, but all right. Well, but this was a thing, but it reminded me, it brought back to my memories my first encounter with technology. So my first encounter with technology was when I graduated elementary school. I graduated from yeshiva, eighth grade, back in the mid-70s, 1975. And at that time, they had just come out, with handheld calculators. A handheld calculator, which today gone to store for 99 cents, you can get five of them. But in those days, they you know, this was a Dreiser's app. So my father, shalom be well, got me one as a gift. You know, okay, graduated eighth grade, very nice. So I had the calculator, and now the question is, what do you do with it? So I was one of the younger members of my class. I graduated, I had just become bar mitzvah shortly right before that. So I figured I'll consult with the Chachamim Yodei Ha'itim to see what do you do with such a device. So I was given the following Eitzah. I was given the Eitzah that this is what you do. You take this thing and you type in the following numbers. You type in the number 54377 and then a space and then 017. All right, so what is the school of these numbers? What is the Kabbalistic connection of these numbers? So the answer is that when you type in these numbers and turn upside down, it spells the word shell oil. It spells the word shell oil. So this was a hamtzah. This was a great insight that I was given. And this was the beginning of my simcha of this new device. And then further I was told that another more divrei chachma came in from another source, that if you do the 4-3-7-7-0 and turn it upside down, so it spells hello. Okay, wonderful. And v'chahena v'chahena, this was the night was spent indulging in this incredible advancements of technology that the world had provided. So then, Baruch Hashem, I got a little older, and a little das began to slowly but surely seep in. And I recognized that, okay, clearly that's not what this thing is meant for, fine. But then, the thought occurred to me, that, and this was, I was inspired when I was standing there with all these chachamim, of masters of technology, designers of technology, that let's just say at that moment I would have come across the person who designed that calculator. And he would have said to me, oh, I see you have my device. So how are you enjoying it? So I said, are you kidding? You can't imagine what kind of simcha I have. I'm typing in all these numbers and turning it upside down. So what would his reaction have been? His reaction, he would have been mortified. He probably would have smacked me across the face. He would have said, this is what you do. Do you have any idea how much effort went into this? Do you have any idea how much chokhmah, how many late nights I put in, how much precision, how many times I skipped a meal to be able to come up with a device like this? And finally, I got it out in the market to benefit people, and this is what you do with it? And after all my hard work, the best you could show for yourself is Shell oil? So I would imagine that it wouldn't have been a pleasant discussion. So the nimshel would be that the Ribbono Shel Olam put into every person the tremendous kochos that a person has, the ability to think, and the ability to be misgaber, the ability to overcome a situation, the ability to rise up to a situation and overcome a temptation and refine a midah and be sensitive to delicate things and be sensitive to other people. These are all the kaichas that Hashem put into a person. And what do we find when we go in the street today? And what do we find people doing? So in the Heintige Welt, in today's world, it's Shell oil. Everywhere you go is Shell oil. You walk in the street, you see Shell oil and hello and all these things all over the place. Because what you have is a prisus. What you have is there's no hakara. There's no recognition, there's no understanding of what a person could be. There's no understanding of that. And unfortunately, we are totally enveloped in this. And so there's one ashras after the next, and a horrific thing. I mean, this past year, Tafshanayin, hey, I don't think it could end soon enough. The tzaras that happened to Klal Yisrael and hashchas in the world that has gone on, terrible, terrible things. And we're sitting there and we're exposed to all of this. We're exposed to all of this. And because everyone is so busy, and because everyone is so tarot, so we have no chance, we have no opportunity. So when it comes to Yom Nerayim, that's what has to be. On the one hand, the person, you can't hit the panic button. The person falls into yish. It's a terrible mistake. It's brola halachah. That's why we eat meals, nice meals in Rosh Hashanah. The post can bring this pasuk. There's a certain confidence that a person has to have. But together with that, it has to be lahaskal divrei Torah. It has to be that a person uses the time. He's free from it all, free from all the tirdas. You have 2 days away from it all in an atmosphere that sort of forces us to focus, that forces us to be introspective, that the greatest things, the greatest accomplishments can come from that. The greatest steigen can come from that. This is opportunity that a person has to have when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. And that's really, I think, sometimes we lose this because we get sidetracked, and sidetracked in a good sense. Not sidetracked because we don't pay attention to it, but the other way, the other extreme, the sidetracked because the person just falls into despair. I wake up now, I haven't done any tshuva, and here it is. They started going to the shofar a month ago, and now it's already we're holding by Rosh Hashanah. What am I going to do? So that's a ma'aseh sadin. That would be a lost opportunity in the highest degree. But ma'aseh, after everything is said and done, a person has to focus on what a human being is capable of doing, but also a person has to focus. And one of the great challenges, and many challenges in the world, but it's obviously not, I am not familiar with all of them, and it would be impossible to discuss all of them. But like I say, because we live in such a Saviva, it's very difficult for us, and a lot of times we get knocked off course. We get knocked off course, and we don't realize it because it's not so apparent, very difficult situation. So I think that sometimes a person has to recognize also, you know, especially living in America, Baruch Hashem, we don't suffer here from the anti-Semitism, we don't suffer from, we have a good life, the police pretty much look after us, and they try to look after us, and the government stands behind everything, all these types of things. But with that, the unfortunately comes a certain complacency. And with that, and you know, so now you could have everything. A person, we learn, Baruch Hashem, you know, a person go through the Shas today, is very common, and therefore, you know, we have that, but together with that, we also have a lot of other things. A religious Jew today has many more agendas than we used to have. So I just want to end with something which is just a thought to keep in mind, which, for whatever it's worth, we have... it's printed in the beginning of the Kovetz Ha'aretz of Elchanan Wasserman, that the story of, I'm sure many people are familiar with Elchanan Wasserman, the Gadoli Rosh Yeshivas in Europe before the war, was murdered by the Nazis. He was murdered by the Nazis. In the end, he was herded together with others into the Kovna ghetto, and eventually the day came that they were taken out to be executed. And there was a person who miraculously was a Ravi, passed away not that many years ago, Rav Ephraim Oshri, who was together with them in the Kovna ghetto at the time. And they were all lined up and shot. But he, knowing that this was going to happen, so he did a trick that he fell as the bullets were coming towards him, so he fell before the time that he was being shot at, and nobody detected it, and he made it look like he had been killed, and eventually he escaped. Eventually, after everything settled down, hours later, when everybody went away, all the Ratzchim went home, so he was able to escape. So he was an eyewitness to what took place in those last moments, and he writes it here. It's, I don't know if it's in the new editions, but in the old edition of the Kovetz Ha'aretz, they have it written here. They have biography of Elchanan Wasserman, and they have what he said. So it seems that he said the following, that before they were going to be executed, so he asked, Rav Elchanan came, stepped forward, and asked the person in charge, the Rasha in charge, for permission to address the crowd. He asked for permission to say something, and he was granted permission. So he said, they have it here, it's in Yiddish, and so just loosely translated, he said, so Rav Elchanan said to them the following, and this is recorded by an eyewitness. This is the person who wrote this, heard it. So he says that, he said, listen, he said, in Shemayim, we must be held as tzaddikim, because we are being used as karbonis. We're being brought as karbonis, that we're going to be mechaper for the Klal Yisrael. And he said, therefore, we have to do tshuva at a time like this, and a person, just like he said, a person should have only good thoughts, a person should not have any tainus, because that would be comparable to machsheves pigel. And this is what he was saying. But then he said like this. He said that if we will do tshuva right now properly, so he said, velenmer, that if we do tshuva now, we will save our American brothers and sisters. In other words, in the view of this tzaddik, in the view of this gadol, what was happening wasn't just stam. It wasn't just stam an incident. That it wasn't stam the tochacha coming to life. It wasn't just onish of some sort. But he touched it up in his. Understanding of what was happening was that this was going to be, and somehow what was happening to them was going to enable Klal Yisrael in America to go ahead and actually emerge. Back in the earlier days, it was highly questionable what was going to happen, what was going to be. A lot of Gedolim were afraid to even come here to the United States because of the fear of what would happen. So Rav Elchanan said that we are the kapara that will make it, that there will be, I assume what he means is, that there will be a meaningful yeshiva of Yidden in America. So I was thinking to myself, so we're all maminim in Tchias HaMeisim. So we all believe that, we all believe Tchias HaMeisim, and therefore, the day is going to come that we're going to meet these people. So what are we going to say? A person will say, a person who was killed at that time, there were many hundreds, I don't know, maybe the number is higher, hundreds of people that were shot together of a chanan at that time. Right? They'll say, you know, I was a kapara for you. I was a kapara because of me. I did it b'leiv sholem because I was told that this will enable you people to shteig, that you people be able to grow and you people be able to function. So tell me, how did it pan out? And every person is going to have to answer that question. Every person is going to have to answer that question. And I think, in a certain sense, it may, can't say this, but it may be just as hard to answer that question as it may be to answer the question to the Bez and Shalmala. Because every person is going to have to say, so what did I do? What did I accomplish? What did I add? What did I contribute to the Kvod Shamayim in my life in America? That's what they're going to say. We didn't see that. The story ended. We didn't see past that point. So we need to know, what's the end of the story? How did this all turn out? So this is something that every person is going to have to answer for. And maybe that could be a little bit of his service to think of different situations. The person who realized that after everything's said and done, we live in a very good situation, and Hashem has been incredibly kind. We don't know from hunger, and we don't know from a lot of the illnesses and diseases that used to ravage. You know, it used to be people, Rachman Son children died from strep throat left and right in Europe. It was Ein Bias, or Ein Shom Meis. You had people, every mishpacha that had numerous, that had children, that they're two, three, and here you go, and you can go in public, and they'll give you the medicine for free. They'll give you that people would have paid any, they would have given the whole, everything they owned to get that medicine. And now, b'chasdei Hashem, if you sign on to their plan, they'll hand it to you. Here, take it. Take more. Give it to the whole family. Give it to a neighbor. Whatever it is. They'll give us all these things. We live in incredibly good times. But the question is, are we living up to the challenge? Are we living up to the challenge? So what's the challenge? The challenge is not just the inyan of the Shmiras HaTorah. That's a very big challenge itself. But there's also the challenge of a Kiddush Hashem, the challenge of a person going in the world and being an example. The Goyim don't advertise it, but I think they desperately are looking for examples. They're desperately looking for examples. I had a Maisa a year ago, I was flying to Eretz Yisrael on a cheap airline. And you probably never even heard of it. I don't know if they're still in business, but I got a cheap ticket. So I'm sitting there on the plane, and I needed to get up to walk around a little bit. There's a few hours into the flight. Four rows behind where I'm sitting, there's a Palestinian guy who gives me Shalom Aleichem. And he says, you know, I want you to know that I really respect you. So I said, you respect me? You don't even know who I am. So he said, I know this much about you. He said, because what happened was, I booked this ticket, you could just imagine, it was a, you know, it's some special deal that you had to just, you had 5 seconds to make the decision, and so nothing, you know, not too many good things panned out other than the Etzem trip, so they didn't have kosher food for me. The whole flight, they didn't have food, but they felt very bad about it. When I got on the flight, they realized they didn't have for me, and they had feelings of remorse that they didn't have what to give me, so they kept bringing over things, not knowing what was, because people had no understanding whatsoever, so they kept bringing over one tarfus after the next, can you eat this, can you eat that, and I kept saying, no, it's fine, it's all right, don't worry, I had some cookies, whatever, that will manage, it's fine. So this guy says to me, you know, he said, I am a Muslim. He said, as you know, he says to me, Muslims and Jews don't get along. And as he's saying this, my heart rate is increasing steadily. He says, but I said, I don't know exactly what was going on, but I was watching. I was watching, and I saw that apparently what must have happened was that they didn't have food for you because of your belief you weren't going to eat what they were bringing to you. And they kept bringing one thing after the next, and you kept saying no. He said, I can't tell you. He said, I took my hand, he shook my hand, and he said, I really respect you. I just want you to know that. And I walked away. Bench Gleimel right there on the plane. but the fact of the matter is that it was a big deher. It was a big deher. He's impressed by this. This guy also had religious beliefs. This person also, maybe that's why he connected with it. But the opportunity for a person to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in the world is enormous. And after everything's said and done, that's what it's about. That's what a person is here for. But we have to know that it's not just in Shemayim that will be taken to, you know, that will be asked to give an accounting. But even, just think sometimes at one moment, what are you going to say? What are you going to say when these chevra from the Kovna ghetto come into the day of Tchias HaMeisim and say, come, tell me, what was the rest of the story? I was your patron. Because of you, because of me, you went to yeshiva. Because of me, you had kosher food. Because of me, you were able to keep mitzvahs without people beating you. You, because of me, you were able to have yeshivas and kolam and places, and the government would even sometimes help out, and all kinds of things because of me. So tell me, what did you do? So sometimes if we keep that in mind, that could perhaps be a service that we should be able to remind ourselves in a difficult world, in a difficult time. What Rosh Hashanah brings it to the forefront of a person's mind. To remind ourselves what could be an opportunity again to set the course, to get back on track, to go in the right direction. It's true. You can't fix everything in a few days. It's not going to happen unless a person has a life shattering hesaurus. Like you find in the Chazal stories of people who did tshuva in one moment, but it was always preceded by a life altering episode. And anything short of that really isn't going to do it. And today I'm not even sure. We're so callous to everything. Everyone's seen all kinds of things in their lifetime and the films and all kinds of... So it could be we wouldn't even be so inspired by that. But at the end of the day, it's a process. It's a process. But Rosh Hashanah is the time to start the process in the right direction, to get the process back in the right direction, that a person should remind himself what he's supposed to be doing, and the chizuk, the chedvas Hashem imu uzchem, Hashem will stand by. Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom has a lot of patience. Rebbeinu Shalom has a lot of patience. Rabbi Gemara says that the person is not allowed to say Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatron Hu, even though it appears that way. You look at the world, you see Rishon who are given so much, and even the people who are not official Rishon, but people do things wrong, Hashem gives them all kinds of good things. So it could lead a person to the conclusion that Hashem is a Vatron, Hashem overlooks it. So the Chazal say that's us to say such a thing. A person who says that, that's a kfirah to say such a thing. So what then is the pshat? The pshat is that Hashem is marachav. The pshat is that Hashem has a great deal of patience. A person has to a little bit factor that in, that if I could just this time, here's a chance. If you go for too much, you accomplish nothing. A person tries, but between now and Rosh Hashanah, I'll be misakin all my avers. It's a dream. It's not real. I'm not trying to belittle. It's not realistic. And a lot of times, you're not realistic, you end up with nothing. A person who has an unrealistic view, it doesn't have a game plan. So what do you end up with? You end up with zero. The person realizes this is a chance to start again, a chance to set it straight and to appreciate and to reflect. The opportunity to reflect in today's world is a yikar metzias, and nobody has a second. There used to be people had some time to think, but today that time is all preoccupied by pecking at a phone and all these other devices. So nobody has a chance even to think. See, here's the chance we could get it perhaps in the right way. Lahaskel, like Ezra said, Ezra who knew very well what chait meant, that he said, Boshti v'nechlamti at tzadik yisod olam, and whatever small averis he had, he comes out and says, Boshti v'nechlamti l'harim panai elecha, that I'm embarrassed. What did he do already? What did he do? A little daki savera that he did, and for this he's embarrassed to talk to Rabban Shalom. But yet that person, when it came to Rosh Hashanah, who had the greatest hakaras achet on record, the greatest hakaras achet, that person came Rosh Hashanah chedvas Hashem imuuskam, that you have to believe. A person has to go with the attitude that the Hashem will work with him, but if it's accompanied by lahaskel al divrei Torah, if it's accompanied by a sincere effort to involve himself in learning, to apply himself in learning, and to try to get the true meaning of what the Torah wants from each person, we should all be zocha bez Hashem to a wonderful Shana Tova, Masukah, and Ksivah Simitah.